For our continued series of messages on the great chapters of the Bible, we'll be moving tonight into the New Testament for a message on faith in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, God's honor roll of faith. I trust that you have your Bible and that you'll turn with us to read verses out of this chapter that will inspire us and will encourage us to strengthen our faith in these dark and dismal days. Hebrews chapter 11, and I shall begin reading at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then beginning in verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Oh, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or mature. We know that faith is the eye that sees the invisible, the ear that hears the inaudible, and the hand that touches the intangible. In the first verse comes a good definition of the word faith. Let's consider it together for a moment under this topic, the explanation of faith. Notice what the writer says. Now, faith is the substance or assurance or the title deed. We know what a title deed is. It means that we possess or that we own a certain thing. If your name is on the deed to your car or house, in reality, of course, God owns that, but it's in your possession, and he has trusted you with it, so you have a title deed. Now, faith is the substance, the assurance, the confidence, the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence, the proving, the conviction of things that are not seen. Two areas of faith there. The evidence, or rather the substance, Paul says, of things hoped for. That is, of things that we know can be achieved. Things that we know can be ours. Faith is the substance of those things, the title deed, the assurance that we will receive those things that can be received, that can be handled, that can be touched, that can be had, that can be possessed. On the other hand, faith is again the evidence or proving of those things which Paul says are not seen. And this seems to me to be even greater than that part which brings to us the things that can be seen. Paul says in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is at the very foundation of our relationship to God. Verse 6 of this chapter says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is to please God. We do not reach God by our senses. We don't see God. Look with me, if you will, at verse 27, the latter part. For he endured, speaking of Moses, as seeing him who is invisible. We don't see God. We don't, through our sense of touch, feel God, or taste God, or smell God. We do not reach God through the natural senses. How then can we approach Him? Only by faith. And faith is the substance, the guarantee, the title deed, the assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence, the proving, the conviction that we shall receive those things that are not seen. I believe that speaks of the heavenly things, of the eternal things. The things hoped for might consist of those things that we know about, that with our senses we can perceive. But if we only look forward to and entertain the idea and the hope and embraced the hope of getting those things that can be seen or handled or touched or felt or tasted, then that would not carry us far enough. We must have something that reaches out to grasp those things that cannot be seen. Paul says we walk not by sight, but by faith. It is much easier to walk by faith in reality than it is by sight. Because as long as we are walking by faith and holding God's hand, we'll make the right step. But because our sight is rather dim through selfishness and greed and covetousness, because our sight is rather dim and we are short-sighted, if we try to walk by sight, we are apt to stumble and fall along the way. But as long as we are walking by faith, we'll make the right step and anxiously await and anticipate the day when our faith shall become sight. The explanation of faith. And then secondly, the examples of faith, and Paul lists a number of them here. We might feel in our own thinking that there's some people not listed here that ought to be listed. But I'm sure the Apostle Paul followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit when he listed God's heroes and heroines of faith. When we think about the great nation of Israel, we think of its beginnings and of the first king that Israel crowned to rule over them. We know that that was a man by the name of Saul. Israel cried for a king to be like the other nations of the earth. That was Israel's mistake, to want to be like other nations. To be like the world is a mistake on the part of Christians in the 20th century. I know that we're in the world and we cannot erase that fact. And we are exposed to the things of the world and we cannot get around it. If we are going to live, we are going to have to live in the world. Unless we want to dangle somewhere in space. And then it too would be contaminated. But we are in the world, confronted with the problems of the world. The problems of which we as human beings fall heir to by virtue of the fact that we are humans. We do not condone all the things that go on in the world. Much of it must be condemned. But we are in the world. But remember, Jesus said, yes, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship, Paul says in Philippians 3, is in heaven, whence we look for the Savior, who shall come and fashion our vile bodies and make them like unto his own glorious body. While it is true that we cannot erase and do away with the elements of the world, we can live beyond the realm of the world, on the job, in the home, wherever we are. And that can be done only by faith. When we think, as we were saying about the beginning of the nation Israel, we would probably expect to find a man by the name of Saul listed here in the heroes of faith. After all, he stood head and shoulders above all the people of Israel. Saul was their first king, but there's a good reason that he's not there when many others are. I read about David, who committed the twin sins of adultery and murder. I read about Rahab the harlot, who is listed here. Why, there's Abraham listed here, and you remember how he told a half of a lie about his wife because she was his half-sister. But he didn't make it appear that way. But he's listed here, a liar, a thief, a harlot, an adulterer, a murderer, all of these in the heroes of faith. And here is this man Saul, who was not, and there's a good reason why. I think it could be summarized in one word, and that word is pride. Because of his pride, Saul is significantly missing from God's honor roll of faith. The wise Solomon says, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty look, and pride. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Because of his pride and his incomplete obedience, Saul was not mentioned in the heroes of faith. But there are some who play an important part in the unfolding of the revelation of God's plan for the ages. In areas of worship, fellowship, preservation of the human race, the covenant, anticipation of future blessing, commission, and conflict, certain ones are listed in God's honor roll of the heroes of faith. I want us to notice several of these. And first, the man Abel. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, that is, in God's sight, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's faith was in the area of worship. All too often we look too lightly upon the matters of worship. What did you expect to get out of the services when you came this morning? What do you expect to carry home with you in your mind and in your heart from the services tonight? Oh, you say, but Pastor, I hadn't thought about it that way. I'm so accustomed to just coming and taking a seat and going through what we call worship that I haven't really thought about that very seriously. How much time do you suppose that the average member of Worth Baptist Church spent in preparing for worship today? I don't mean getting ready, putting on our clothes and combing our hair, and so forth and so on. I'm talking about getting ready in heart and soul and mind. How much time did we spend in preparation to worship? No wonder so much of our worship is not accepted by God. No wonder we don't get anything out of the service. No wonder we leave the services many times in the same frame of mind that we were when we came. We really weren't prepared for worship, and therefore we did not worship. Oh, we sat in and hummed along on a few songs, perhaps, and maybe had a part in the offering and bowed our heads when the preacher said, let's everybody pray. But that's not all there is to worship. By faith, in the area of worship, Abel pleased God. On the other hand, his brother Cain, brought up in the same home, under the same conditions, and in worship, did not please God. Is your worship pleasing to God? How much do you give in preparation for worship? That's worth thinking about. In the area of worship, Abel's faith was accepted by God. There's another important area, and that's in the area of our fellowship with God. And verse 5 tells us about a man by the name of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Do you have that testimony tonight? Is your daily walk pleasing, acceptable to God? Is your life out there in the marketplaces of life, on the job, in the factory, in the office? Is your life, is your fellowship, your communion pleasing to God? Should we not, as Christians, walk hand in hand with God? You know, there's a certain point of strength by walking arm in arm. We never get ahead and we never get behind. And you know, it's just about as dangerous to try to get ahead of God as it is to lag behind. But if we walk side by side with God, like Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, it would be said about us, here is our testimony that we pleased God. Is your life pleasing to God? What about your time of fellowship and communion and daily walk? I said to the class this morning, and perhaps in the morning worship, we make a mistake to think that we can segregate Sunday and say that Sunday is the only time for Christianity. Sunday is only the only time for the principles of the Bible and Christian faith. Oh, no. Unless your faith penetrates every area of your life, you have a weak, sick, anemic, dying faith. Let's carry Christ wherever we go. Our fellowship, by faith, Enoch's fellowship, communion, walk with God was acceptable, and God took him. Another area in which our faith must be prominent, and it was prominent in the life of a man named Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, not seen as yet. Remember the definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverential trust, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Faith. Now listen. In the area of preserving the human race, Noah's faith was acceptable to God. He built an ark by faith to the saving of his own household. Did you realize that as a Christian that you're helping to preserve the human race? What if all the Christians were out of the world tonight? You talk about a chaotic mess. So then, by our faith, we are, like Noah, helping to preserve the human race. Therefore, we need a strong faith. A faith that motivates us to act. We talk about January being a month of action. We need faith that will move us to act for God. Not only in January, but throughout the days that are ahead of us. The Christian element in the world tonight, I believe, is a strong factor in preserving the human race. What about your faith? Then the faith in verse 8 and through verse 19 that centers about one man in particular and his family, the man Abraham. For verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, argued with God. No, it doesn't say that, does it? I think I read it incorrectly. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, called the family together for a conference. Didn't say that, did it? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, decided he would call a parley of all the neighbors to see what they thought he ought to do. Doesn't read like that, does it? No, it says by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. One simple word, he obeyed. He did what God called him to do. This is in the area of the covenant promises. How did Abraham receive the promise? By faith. He didn't know exactly where he was going, but faith showed him where he was going. He didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but faith revealed the promise, the plan, the program of God for his life. He didn't know how he was going to make it over there in the land that God was going to show him, but he found out by faith. We may not understand and see readily how all of these things are going to be. We may not be able to see in our ministry and life of the Sunday school and activities of the church, just how are we going to make it in 1967? Pressing schedules, problems, these things, all of the things that take their toll. But by faith, if we place our hand in God's hand, we'll be just like Abraham and receive the promise that God has made to us. He didn't know, he couldn't see how that if he offered his son Isaac upon an altar of sacrifice, that there would ever be a nation, there would ever be a promised seed. But he believed what God said. You can't see how that everything will work out in the coming days of this new year. But why don't we just exercise faith? Why don't we take God at his word and believe that whatever God says, it shall be? And Joshua said, not one good thing of all the things that the Lord hath promised, not one good thing hath failed. Abraham, in the area of receiving promises, pleased God only by faith. And what shall I say about Isaac? The type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what? Things to come. Our anticipation of things to come can only be embraced by faith. We don't know exactly what heaven is going to be like. We don't know exactly what all of eternity is going to bring. But by faith, we anticipate. We embrace the hope that though this body of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How do we do that? How do we anticipate things to come? One thing. Was that way with Isaac. It must be that way with us. And what shall I say about the man Moses in verse 23 through verse 29? Verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, here it is, as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This man Moses, in the area of receiving and executing a commission pleased God by faith. You and I have a commission tonight. You and I are commissioned as a church and as individual Christians to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is our commission. This is our charge. This is our challenge. This is our opportunity. We cannot please God apart from faith. We must exercise faith to accept the challenge, to receive the commission, and execute it to the best of our ability. Somebody says, well, I don't know how I can make it on visitation. I don't know how I can witness during the week. You can if your faith is strong enough. Even out there on the job, making contacts with people day by day, a living witness for Christ. Yours may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Write it plainly in your life. By faith, Moses accepted and executed a divine commission. By faith, we can do the same. There's another area that's outstanding, and it's found in verse 30, and the man's name is not even mentioned. But verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Do you think for a moment that you go through the Christian life without any conflict, without any Jerichos to capture, without any Jordan rivers to cross, without any Red Seas to cross? Oh no, they're out there. The walls of some Jericho are out there for you. Tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and on in the days that are ahead. But those walls can come down by faith. The conflict in which you and I are engaged in a world like we live in tonight, this conflict can be won and the walls of your Jericho can fall down flat. If your faith is vibrant and living and militant, your faith in God, your faith in God, He is the object of our faith. And that's what Jesus said, have faith in God. In all of these areas and in many more, we must have faith to please Him. Again at verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Finally, what is the end of our faith? Does it all end with what we can see and handle and touch? Oh no, remember the latter part of verse 1, the evidence, the proving, the conviction of things not seen. Our hope goes beyond this present life. Our hope is twofold. Not only to be with Christ, but to be like Him. How is that possible? Because we believe what God said. To me to live, Paul said, is Christ. To die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our citizenship in heaven, whence we look for the Savior. How do we look for Him? We don't literally go out and with our eyes try to see Him, do we? Oh, no. But in our heart and the eyes of our soul, by faith, we see the ultimate, the final, the end of it all. With Christ, like Christ, forever. Is that your hope tonight? Do you embrace that hope in 1967? If not, you can, for by grace are you saved through faith. If you'll give God a chance tonight, if you'll surrender your life to Him and your will to Him and open the door of your heart to Him and let Christ come in, you can embrace the same faith that ultimately brings us not only to be with Him, but to be like Him. What about your faith tonight? Let us. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer tonight that our faith might be genuine, that our faith might be fortified with new fervor for 1967. that we might recognize thee and thee only as the object of our faith. Should there be those here tonight who have not anchored their faith in Jesus as their personal Savior, may they come tonight to trust him. Should there be those who need their faith to be strengthened by absolute commitment of their lives, may they come tonight and commit themselves to thee, is our prayer in Jesus' name.